For students attending the University of Alaska, the one thing absent from their worries during this time of year is the lack of a white Christmas. And with the snow, of course, comes a crispness in the air and a special indescribable feeling that prevails only at Christmas time. Students are on their way home as you hear this program, and the campus is quieter, but not altogether completely still. This is Christmas 1965 at the University of Alaska on This Is Your University. Next to the religious significance we attach to Christmas, the season for students often signals the end of one semester and the beginning of another. Even though the semester does not officially end until mid-January, for all practical purposes, the semester has ended. For many students, it's time for that Christmas vacation, 2 weeks with the family during a very special time of year. And there are students who stay on campus throughout the Christmas recess, and activities on the campus do not necessarily come to a complete standstill. For instance, there's a Christmas ball sponsored by the students and a holiday ball for the faculty. There are Christmas decorating competitions between the dormitories and various organizations. This year, the dormitories have outdone themselves, and they sparkle with myriad holiday colors. Recently, the University Fairbanks Community Symphony and the University Community Chorus held their first joint concert of the season. The chorus, under direction of Professor Charles Davis, head of the music department at the university, sang a collection of carols to a standing room only audience. The program was also broadcast on the university's FM radio station. In a program designed especially for the student who plans to remain on campus during the vacation, members of the faculty may invite a student to share their Christmas meal by simply calling the Student Activities office. Many students will no doubt use this free time to write term papers, catch up on back reading, and study. Others admit their plans to just loaf and rest up for the final exams, which start January 13th. Whether remaining on campus for work or rest, there are many activities to help make the season pleasant. The university's collegiate-sized swimming pool is open daily. There are regularly scheduled top-notch motion pictures shown on campus. And, of course, the snack bar in the Student Union building is still open, serving coffee, snacks, and conversation. An ice skating rink, located behind one of the women's dormitories, Wickersham Hall, is ready for use by students, faculty, staff, and families, while the university's ski slope, located near the Patty building, is operating at near capacity most of the time. The holiday vacation for the University of Alaska began last Friday, December 17th, and it'll last until January 3rd. This is Christmas 1965 on the University of Alaska campus, 110 miles south of the Arctic Circle. The pace slows, the noise subsides, and perhaps a lot of us here, as throughout Alaska, pause to look back on a year filled with somewhat nostalgic memories, a time when everyone suddenly catch themselves wondering out loud, "I just don't know where the time went." But we do know where it went. 1965 went toward building a bigger and better university to continue to serve well the skyrocketing rate of growth of Alaska's college-age population. It went toward new planning, new proposals, and new ideas for a better Alaska. From University of Alaska President Dr. William R. Wood, the entire faculty and professional staff, and from our engineer George Katzenberger, this is Ken Burton wishing you a most joyous holiday season. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. For the University of Alaska, 1965 has been a good year, The campus has expanded and enrollment has grown. We have more buildings, more new classes, and more classrooms than ever before. And 1965 has been an eventful year. The ice island Arliss II was deactivated. Construction was completed on 2 of 11 buildings in the new Arctic Research Center complex on the university's West Ridge campus, and a strong effort has been initiated to collect valuable papers and documents important to Alaska. These are just a few of many events that affected the university in 1965, and that's our story today, the year in review on This Is Your University. In 1965, Arliss II, a floating ice island manned by some 70 scientists, was abandoned in May, just as she began to break up off the coast of Iceland. Research accomplished on Arliss II was channeled back to the Arctic Research Laboratory at Barrow, a facility operated by the University of Alaska for the Office of Naval Research. As Arliss began to melt, it signaled the end of a four-year, 4,000-mile journey that carried the island around the tip of Greenland. Its travels began off the northern coast of Alaska. Throughout the summer of 65, more than 35,000 persons from all corners of the nation and several foreign countries as well visited the university campus in college. The biggest drawing card was the university's museum, which has on display numerous Indian, Russian, and pioneer artifacts. When the university opened its doors for the 1965-1966 academic year, 1,613 full-time students enrolled, a new high in enrollment for the institution, and one that exceeded the anticipated enrollment projections. With a freshman class of 558, the university's student body this year represents 44 other states and 14 foreign nations, and female students enjoy a 3-to-2 ratio of men to women. Not to be overlooked are the many and varied research activities that operate year in and year out at the University of Alaska. Many of these projects operate directly on the campus, while others use the campus as their main base. During 1965, federal and private funds continued to come to the university. Some was earmarked for the continuation of existing research work, while other funds provided for wholly new projects. One result from university research was development of an entirely new oil offshore drilling rig. Such devices are now being built in the Cook Inlet area and come as a direct result of U.S. Navy research funds and university research. These rigs are unique inasmuch as their structural design makes them able to withstand powerful pressures of sea ice flows. In October, the university's Board of Regents met here and announced that Alaskans may look forward to an enrollment of 8,000 students on our main campus by 1980. Two new residence halls, one four-story women's residence and one men's eight-story residence, have been erected and the women's facility is now in use. The men's hall is nearing completion. Eventually, the two halls will be connected by a closed hallway and a dining commons. In 1965, the university library began its first full-time effort to collect, categorize, and identify thousands of papers, documents, publications, and artifacts important to Alaska's rich and colorful past. Under the direction of a full-time archivist, this task is moving ahead well. For the past 5 minutes, you have heard about a minute part of the University of Alaska's operation, projects, and accomplishments during this past year. Diversity and comprehensiveness are the key ideas in the development of public higher education in our modern world. The University of Alaska follows this concept, and it has the fortunate opportunity to help maintain Alaska's rating as the state whose citizens rank second in the amount of formal education. If our accomplishments in this past year are any indication, then perhaps that rating can become number one in 1966. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University Radio Station, KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. The concept of a modern university takes on many aspects in Alaska, where the state constitution specifically spells out the responsibilities of Alaska's only public institution for higher learning. One of these aspects is the development and evolvement of the community college, and that's what we have in store today on This Is Your University. What is a modern university? It is a community of scholars, a home for several disciplines, a center in which many kinds of professional education are gathered. It is a center for advancing knowledge through research, a place where error is exposed by the collision of mind with mind and knowledge with knowledge. The University of Alaska, to be sure, is all of these, but it is also different. It is emerging as a new kind of institution of higher learning, dedicated to filling an entire range of intellectual and cultural needs of a vast area, and all of the public needs for higher education of our huge state. The university is responsible under Alaska's constitution for extending educational opportunities to all who qualify and are capable. It is responsible for training technicians and professional practitioners and providing a general education beyond high school. In order to fulfill its mission under rapidly changing conditions, the university must continually reevaluate its role. Under law, it must consider the many and diverse types of higher educational needs and take appropriate action to meet them. Such action was taken more than 10 years ago. The university's Board of Regents adopted the concept of expanding university activities into the areas of the state with the greatest need, while at the same time expanding the main campus at college as the state's higher educational center. From this concept has evolved the evening and correspondence programs, including military on-base classes in 6 locations, research stations at communities throughout the state, the Cooperative Extension Service, serving many remote areas, and such special programs as mining extension and fisheries extension. Augmenting this service, community colleges have been established in 6 Alaska communities to serve local community needs for lower division academic courses, occupational courses, and general adult studies at low cost. The Anchorage Community College, established in 1953, is the oldest and largest in the state. In its 11 years, it has enrolled more than 20,000 people, and it has offered more than 100 courses each year. In the recent fall term, enrollment was 1,867. The number of technical students almost doubled, and non-academic credit hours more than doubled since 1963, showing the great need for technical and occupational education. In the fall term, it was necessary to schedule 3 sections of freshman English. 29 other lower division academic classes attracted more students than seating space, forcing the college to turn students away. These were such courses as history, economics, accounting, and algebra. The other community colleges at Juneau Douglas, Sitka, Ketchikan, Palmer, and Kenai, and the evening course program on the main campus for the Fairbanks area follow this pattern of providing for the specific needs of their communities. These needs are served in cooperation with the local school districts. Surprising to some is the effect on the main campus of serving many higher educational needs locally throughout the state. It does not decrease the enrollment at the main campus. Rather, it increases it. Students who otherwise would not be able to attend the university obtain their first 1 or 2 years while living at home, and then transfer to the main campus for more upper division work. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University Radio Station, KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. Automation, a frightening word to many, yet to others it is symbolic of much that is good in life. It also symbolizes a great many problems which will face Alaskans in years to come. That's our story for today, automation and what it means, on This Is Your University. Never has a period of history had greater significance for man's future than the past two decades. The explosive population changes and great advances in technology and automation since the Second World War have had such far-reaching consequences that it is almost beyond imagination. Their impact on education is massive. It may not be fully comprehended for years. Their impact on Alaska, already with its share of growing pains, will be tremendous. The growth of automation and technology is the surging force of our age. It is much greater in scope and meaning than the Industrial Revolution. Coupled with the tremendous population increase, they create complex and urgent problems whose solutions seem to be centered in education. Unemployment, underemployment, high school and college dropouts, displaced workers, retraining of workers with obsolete skills, threats to traditions and ways of life. Our youth, the nation's greatest resource, entering a world changing so rapidly it seems to have no place for them. These are not mere conjectures of what could happen in the future. These are present-day realities. To our nation's educators, the problems present a dramatic challenge that must be met with immediate action to avoid lasting damage to the economy and social structure of our country. Four distinct complex problems facing higher education today stem from the increased population and technological revolution. First, the new technology has fashioned great changes in man's relationship to his work and his education. For the first time in history, man's education stands directly between him and his occupational goals. Sufficient technological and occupational education is an urgent need if we are to avoid society's disaster gap, that educational void between high school graduates and university graduates. Second, the population explosion has created a vast crop of college-age youth, along with new social pressures, causing the assumption that a college education is mandatory. The result is a serious crisis in higher education. In state after state, public universities are turning away thousands of qualified students. As doors slam, the crisis continues to widen. Third, re-education and continuing education is a present and rapidly growing need. Adult education, as traditionally known, must be greatly broadened and modified. The pace of change is so swift, the growth of new knowledge so enormous, that much of what is being taught today soon will be obsolete, and much yet undiscovered must be learned. Professional and technical people must continually upgrade their information and their skills as a routine course of action. Many youngsters starting today will have to relearn their vocations at least three times during their lifetime just to keep up. The word for each who works is continue to learn or else. Fourth, the increase of leisure time brings another challenge to education. Technology and automation will, in the next few years, justify the workday reduction in many occupations to 4 or 5 hours. The expanded leisure time will demand new approaches to the use of time and new attitudes toward the concept of work and free time. These complex problems and their many side effects have created a crisis that is revolutionizing the philosophy and approach to higher education. It is a crisis which will get worse before it gets better. Alaska, because of her size, location, and relationship to the other states, will soon be affected by these problems. These same peculiarities afford Alaska an opportunity to prepare to meet these problems without crisis. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. They come from Adak in Australia and Arizona, Ketchikan, Mikoyak, Ohio, and Peru. 1,613 students from 44 states, 14 countries, and 101 villages and towns in Alaska. That's our story today, The Students, on This Is Your University. They come in September to the University of Alaska campus, a mere 130 miles below the Arctic Circle, bringing their ideas, ideals, enthusiasms, and problems, and they coalesce into the university student body within a few short weeks. Undergraduate, graduate, married, single, part-time students who live in one or another of the 9 residence halls or their homes near Fairbanks. They eat several hundred meals in the university commons and match stacks of hamburgers with gallons of coffee at the Student Union building to the beat of the jukebox and the carpenter's hammer, signs of the times. The music is the pounding so-called folk rock of youth, and the hammers are wielded by an older generation busy building around, over, and under them as the university rapidly expands to keep pace with the ever-increasing enrollment. Old friends meet again, and new students are invited to pull up a chair and join them. And at the close of initiation week, when the queen has been elected and the freshman bonfire burned out, and the downtown snake dance ends as a sock hop in the sub, they begin the serious business of studying and the necessary business of filling the leftover hours when they close their books. The president of the Associated Students of the University of Alaska, known as the ASUA, met with the National Student Body presidents last fall and returned to remark that the conference provided me with opportunity to step back and view our situation from a distance and compare it with other campuses. I discovered, the president said, that in comparison with other places, we form a vigorous student body. While the university has no fraternities or sororities, there seems to be an organization, group, or club for every person and interest. There are about 26 professional, scholastic, honorary, and social groups on the campus, including the Theati Club, composed of Alaska Native students, Tlinkets, Haidas, Eskimos, Aleuts, Simpsons, and Athabascans. Teamwork ranks high on the campus in basketball, hockey, swimming, both men and women's rifle teams, men's pistol teams, skiing, and women's athletic association. The university swimming team set records in 8 events at a recent swimming meet, and the nationally known rifle team traveled to the Kansas State University turkey shoot. The varsity basketball team competed with Canadian and state teams and had a winning streak of 8 games by the end of last year. The majority of University of Alaska students earn their own money for college, working on construction jobs during the summer or in basic Alaskan industries such as lumber, fishing, or mining. Many continue to work part-time during the school year. They appreciate reduced railroad fares so they can travel home for Christmas. One rugged individual rides a motorcycle, no matter how cold the weather, because it's better than walking, he says, and it saves $1 a day on bus fares. A freshman says they don't have to have all those regulations, while a sophomore may remark, I know a lot more about myself and others now. A student writes about folk rock, saying that whether this folk rock is indicative of the times or not, it is uniting this generation. Moral or immoral, folk singing is what's happening now. This generation isn't overly concerned with the past, but wondering what to do about the future. This music unites us while expressing, not rebelling against the times, the emotions and uncertainties found in today's youth. And the jukebox beats it out with a hammer and saw counterpoint. The students from Nome and Nevada, Juneau and Japan, are earnestly talking over coffee, spending nickel after nickel for refills. They meet at the swimming pool, on the ski slopes, shooting pool, they get together at films, and hold group discussions, and they dance at sock hops and the coronation ball. Or they might just sit on the edge of the plaza pool and thrive on a concentrated personal exchange of old problems, new ideas, new solutions, and the future. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired on this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. There is a vibrant, exciting, and alive world at the University of Alaska, far removed from the solid answers of the scientist the grammatical exercises of the linguists, and the graphs of the engineers, it is the irrepressible world of the performing arts. And that's our story for you today on This Is Your University. Far removed from the solid answers? Yes, indeed. The world of the performing arts at the University of Alaska is the world of the lively sounds, of lyrical nonsense and satire heard in the musical comedies, to the classical renditions that waft from open windows of the music building, and to the dramatic agony found in straight dramatic productions. It is a glow and a fire that, once kindled, seldom dies. At the University of Alaska, the presence of the performing arts is very much in evidence, and judging by responses of students, faculty, and Alaska's citizens, it is very much appreciated. For dramatic productions, student and faculty vocal and music recitals, orchestra concerts, and choral presentations through the entire range of the performing arts, attendance many times overflows. However unfortunate it may be that some people miss a performance, it is nevertheless heartening to see such response. Indeed, it is this type of response that is responsible in no small way to contributing toward a gradual buildup of the arts at the university. Expansion of the arts has come to the university in varied forms, perhaps the most noticeable of these being the demand made on the institution's drama workshop to take more of their productions to more Alaskan communities. Unique among the arts at the university is a proposal that would provide for a theater-to-the-bush type of program. Under this plan, a company of student actors and stagehands would visit small, hard-to-reach bush villages where they could present living theater to native Alaskans who have never seen such things. Using private funds, Theater to the Bush would run one entire semester and would offer a student 12 full credit hours. Last December's Fairbanks University Community Orchestra concert, held jointly with the community choir, is a good example of audience response in the greater Fairbanks area. Despite cold weather, people filled the hall, sat in the aisles, and many even stood in the lobby to hear the Christmas program. Wordsworth once wrote that, "You can never recapture that hour of glory in the flower or splendor in the grass." In many ways, this describes the performing arts, for once they are performed, they are gone. Those moments of fleeting electric urgency are brief indeed. In the music field, the university this year welcomed Jean-Paul Biot and his wife Christiane to the faculty, two accomplished pianists of international note who left their native France to become naturalized U.S. citizens in Fairbanks. And Reuben Decker, nationally known violist, also joined the music faculty this year. Drama workshop productions offer the fringe benefit of travel along with experience. So far, plays like The Caretaker, The Fantastics, and Little Mary Sunshine have gone to cities and towns from Ketchikan to Nome, including a yearly visit to the Whitehorse International Drama Festival, held in Whitehorse, Yukon Territory. The Choir of the North, a combination of some 60 men and women students, is not to be overlooked. Last year they visited much of southeastern Alaska, and they sing at a large number of activities and events in the immediate area as well. The choir is under the direction of Charles W. Davis, head of the music department at the university. Small yet diverse, quality with responsiveness, and regulated growth of a wide field. This is the university's performing arts program, a combination of music, dramatics, talent, and challenge. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton.